Good afternoon. Today is Friday, January the 25th, the 25th day of the new year.
It certainly is.
Alongside a hail but not too hearty Lou Quimby. Or no, hearty but not too hail Lou Quimby.
Pick one.
I did.
Yeah.
Twice.
Oh, getting three weeks down.
Yeah, so this afternoon, I don't know what we'll talk about, but Lou's got a quote, and we'll find out where we're headed when we return.
Yeah, of course we will.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon. KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We are back anxiously awaiting the quote as selected by Simple Country Therapist Lou Quimby.
Anxiously awaiting.
Gee, that's breathless, really, I would say.
Breathless, but riveted.
Then you would be quiet just to see that's when I passed out.
Actually, so. Made my day.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, this is from the always lovely and ever popular Bill Cosby. It has a nice ring to it. I don't know the key to success, but the key to failure is trying to please everybody. And boy, is that true.
I bet you that's made a career for you.
Yes.
Trying to please other people?
No. Working with people who try to please other people.
Well, that's what I meant, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. No, I don't try to please everybody. Look at you and I.
Yeah.
I've never liked you.
Yeah. But don't look too closely. I mean, it's,
but it's never
getting ugly
us.
Really quick.
It's never stopped us, yeah. Right? Yeah.
What is that part of most of our psyches that does try to get other people to like us? Is that because we're a social animal?
It all goes back. Well, part of that, but I think most of the dysfunctional stuff goes back to wanting mommy and daddy to love us. And then that goes back to the three things that kids grow up being afraid about. AAA, anger, abandonment, approval. So they don't
I
like
thought it.
It
was you, me, and them.
That's another tripod.
Yeah.
But little kids are generally afraid of angry outbursts, abandonment, just being left, and disapproving. They're sensitive to disapproving looks and tones of voice. So in order to minimize or avoid that, little kids often turn into little pleasers. The difficulty is not with the kid, it's with the parents. Because if you disapprove of something a child is doing, it's useful to tell them how come. So they've got to...
The action, not the individual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they look at the behavior, not the person. So you pay attention to a child's personhood. That means you have to understand what they're thinking, feeling, and believing. And then you have to explain things to them and detail that the age-appropriate child can understand. And I've seen kids be able to accept lots of things with a proper explanation. Kids aren't afraid of reality. It's like going to funerals or Uncle Ed's alcoholism or Aunt Martha's suicide or a lot of the stuff that scares grown-ups to talk to kids about. Kids deal with that quite matter-of-factly when you explain what the reality is.
So when do kids?
About six.
Okay.
Next. When do kids what?
Start to put baggage on information, and then information becomes good or bad rather than just being information.
Yeah, it's when they start getting highly sensitized to things like anger, abandonment, approval, and their psychological and their family social life depends upon soothing the savage beast, as it were. So one of the parents gets drunk and angry, arbitrary, capricious. Well, kids now have zero control over that. So if it's prolonged, they do the best they can. And there's all kinds of avenues that kids take. First one is often avoidance. They just go to their room, disappear. Or if it's prolonged in childhood, then maybe they figure it's something they've done. So they turn into a helper. and they help with the dishes and keep the other kids quiet. And firstborns, for example, typically do that.
Really?
They get firstborns. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Gee.
Gee. Gotcha.
Oh, gosh. And now you got me all derailed here. My ill condition, I can't think straight.
Oh, now I'm picking on the...
With too many distractions. Yeah, there. No. I just...
Gee, what a shame. This is more like evening the score, I think.
That's right. That old playing field. Now we're level.
Yeah.
So as years go by, kids double and redouble their efforts. They get perfect grades, and they never complain, and blah, 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 blah. And so pretty soon that becomes a way of life, giving up their own personhood issues, their wants, their beliefs, their hopes, their wishes, their dreams, their needs. They put those second or third down on the list, and survival for them is about making everybody else happy. Well, then they get married. And the difficulty is most people do not marry a clone of their parents. They marry a similar, but not a clone. So they'll marry somebody with whom pleasing them all the time is pleasant for a little bit, but that can't go on forever. Because if you please somebody all the time, all the time, all the time, then the other person goes, geez, what did I marry here? A dish rag? Well, why don't we ever talk about anything of just difference or substance or conflict or interest? Or you're so agreeable. Whatever you say, dear. Well, then they got to rediscover their, recapture their, regain their personhood.
And hopefully allow another to do the same.
The people come in pairs that way, too. That's true. So if one has to get their personhood back, so does the other one.
Knocked you off the rail and got an agreement in the same segment.
Oh, you did.
You really are in a weakened state, aren't you?
I am in a weakened state. Or you're being incredibly astute.
Not a chance. No, that would mean that I was paying attention.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes, exactly. KINS News and Information Time. It is 3:19. We'll be back with more from Lou Quimby.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Nowadays it's cold outside, especially if you can't afford warm winter coats for your children. That's where Coats for the Cold comes in. This homegrown organization collects donated coats, cleans them, and distributes them to needy people. It began in 2008 when Robert Lone saw sharply reduced coat prices in a store, bought a batch, and donated them to the Eureka Rescue Mission. Beginning late in January, Coats for the Cold will give out over 1,000 coats in the county, now including southern communities. To donate a coat, new or lightly used, there are 50 Humboldt locations where you can drop it off this month. Find them on this website, coatsforthecold.org. That's coatsforthecold.org. Volunteers from Teen Challenge and other organizations will give out the coats to children. Your warm heart can keep them warm this winter. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 3:24. We are back to talk shop with the non-contagious, however, dealing with fun, Lou Quimby.
Like that.
Yeah. And that is the mic I use tomorrow morning, so just be sure to treat it lovingly, okay?
I'll clean it off afterwards.
Yeah, I bet you will.
Lysol spray.
Yeah. Use your sleeve.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh. Lou, we've had I don't know if a ton is an accurate phrase, but an awful lot of death on the roads here in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Death on the road.
A lot of it is speed, but a lot of it is also DUI or impaired. Why do people seem to have this desire or a lack of being able to check off if they're not functional? And we'll get out and climb behind the car. What is denial all about?
I'm sorry. What is denial all about?
What is denial about? So that, you know, people feel like they can go and get looped and still function.
The simple part of denial is if you're in denial, you don't have to be responsible for anything. That's it. There's three parts to accountability. Who's accountable, what they're accountable for, and when they're accountable for it. If you're in denial, you don't have any sense of responsibility.
Not my fault.
You can drink. I can drive. I had one guy who said, I can drive better drunk than most people drive sober. Now, that's a classic piece of denial, right? So it's a irrational, non-rational sense of his own skill, capacity, and abilities, which is not true of anybody. Nobody can drive better drunk than some people do sober. Because when you drink and drive drunk, you're physically impaired, period. So
is
avoidance of responsibility is the primary one.
Bravado in there somewhere? Male or female?
Well, bravado is a matter of style. That's how the denial may look at the social level. The psychological level is, if I deny it, I don't have to be responsible to do anything. Parents who deny that their kids were molested, for example, if they deny that, then they don't have to talk to anybody about it. They don't have to think about whether or not they had any responsibility in the first place. Well, I left him with Uncle George only for a weekend, and I always thought Uncle George was a nice guy. What do you know about him? And then the story unfolds. So if you're in denial about how much money you need to retire, then you go operate on hope. You put away a nickel a week thinking that's going to compound into enough to retire on. No, it won't. So sometimes denial is based on hope, which is not a method, by the way. And sometimes denial is based grossly on fear, and sometimes the avoidance of having to assume responsibility to do something. So if people are in denial, then it creates the illusion of psychological or social safety. They're not bothered by it. They don't have to deal with it. It doesn't exist, therefore I don't have to attend to it. And then other people, of course, get caught in the middle. Mostly kids, other drivers. Somebody drives drunk, crashes into somebody. Then they take the shot for the other person's irresponsibility. So there's a number of reasons for denial. Fear, avoidance of responsibility. It's difficult when parents do that around children's issues. For example, passivity is a common way to avoid responsibility. There's lots of things that kids learn now at 4 and 6 and 8 and 10 that ruin their childhood. I mean, they learn more about sex and violence between 4 and 14 than most of our parents ever knew in their lifetime, except for war. But so kids get a lot of their childhood taken away from them early on. But if you let kids babysit in front of a TV, then they absorb all that stuff, and it affects. It doesn't distort or damage necessarily, but it will affect a child's psyche and perception and social and emotional reactions. But if you read to a kid, you limit the TV, and you read to a child every night, that's the best thing parents can do, is to read to their children every day, young children, between birth and when they go to school, up until they're 8 as well.
Yeah, when they get around 40, it's time when to 40, knock it off. Yeah.
If they're still living at home at 40, you need to see me. Right. That's a denial of a different sort.
Yeah. Are there personalities that are apt to use or to hide behind substances?
Well, genetically speaking, sure. There's a genetic predisposition for the bad effects of alcohol metabolism. And if you have a genetic predisposition for that, there's no point in walking into a bar and saying, I'm only going to have one. Not going to happen.
Really, really large one. Yeah.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
This is Fred Van Fleck, Eureka City Schools Superintendent. Exciting new things are happening in our district next year, reducing our kinder through third grade class size to 23-1, eliminating our combination classes, and the reopening of Winship Middle School. Remember, we are the largest district on the North Coast, allowing us to have the most diverse course in extracurricular offerings. Enrollment is happening now. Please stop by the district office across from Eureka High School or visit the website at eurekacityschools.org.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Simple Country therapist Lou Quimby. Lou, before the break, we were talking a little bit about personalities that might have a, or individuals that might have a proclivity towards
addiction,
substance abuse,
yeah,
driving fast, you know, kind of living life on the edge a little bit. You'd mentioned that it was that there's a genetic element to that also.
Well, there may be for some people. Other people, there's not. They pick it up for different reasons. But some people have a genetic predisposition not to metabolize things like alcohol well. Something like methamphetamine, though. Methamphetamine goes right to the brain and starts killing brain cells. As opposed to, say, a recreational pot smoker, which is less dangerous than ordinary tobacco cigarettes. But you start using methamphetamine, and it literally starts attacking your body. You've seen some of these older meth heads with their face and their figure, and their body weight goes to hell, and skin goes to hell, and their thinking goes to hell. They have no impulse control or no sense of self-respect or discipline, and that's all based upon the chemistry. So you can take anybody and start feeding them meth and ruin them, regardless how smart they are, how decent they were to start with. It doesn't matter. And then other things like heroin, cocaine, they have different effects on different people. But the addiction...
Well, what about... speeding, driving really, really fast, some of the parachute jumping, you know, those other...
The adrenaline junkies.
Yeah, are they similar? Are they
cross
purposes? Well,
there are, most adrenaline junkies are male. There are female adrenaline junkies, but most of them are male. And there are males who genetically are predisposed to adrenaline runs. They're born with that. If they can put rational controls on it, they can do thoughtful risk. If they can think about what they're going to be doing, then they can take proper steps to make it safer. But so there's nothing wrong with skydiving or driving a motorcycle fast or race car driving fast. There's plenty of race car drivers who do Formula One at 200 plus miles an hour, and they love the rush, but they don't smoke or drink or carouse off. And
in fact, most of them don't do anything.
No, no, they got their rush taken care of. Thank you very much. But if people don't have a safe way to deal with their emotional stuff, they'll do dumb things like driving fast or taking drugs or things like that. The difficulty with drugs is first contact with drugs are fun and exciting, and then drugs begin to have a life of their own after a while. And when you get addicted, then the drug is driving, not you. And then the drug begins to have its effect on your psychological and social life, because there's no external discipline about that. It's one of the difficulties with recreational drugs. Same thing with recreational alcohol. Some people's idea of recreational alcohol is 6 or 8 drinks with dinner. Well, that's hardly recreational. That you start getting into impairment then. What, a drink or two doesn't necessarily involve impairment. and you can loosen you up a little bit and relax and have a few laughs, and that's fine. But you can't do that with speed. Can't do that with cocaine. And if you're an alcoholic, you can't do it with alcohol. There's a saying in AA about the man takes a drink, the drink takes a drink, and the drink takes the man. So one leads to two, to three, to four, to eight, and it's over. So addictive personalities need to pay attention to what the consequences are of what they're doing and look for other avenues. Because if there's one single thing that drugs and alcohol do is it gives people an opportunity to avoid what they think, how they feel, what their relationships are doing, what effect their behavior has on themselves, their partner, their children. And there's more of that denial too. So it's not as simple as one thing or another. The difficulties operate in a what is that word? I'm losing words these days.
Not vacuum.
There's a collection of symptoms called a thing.
You just let me know if I can help you out at any time.
Jeez, yeah, don't help me.
All right, well, I will give you a pause here so you can think about it.
Collection of symptoms.
There you go.
Called a. Oh, never mind. I'll have it before we come back. Go ahead.
A menagerie of
symptoms? No, we can break.
I don't sure? Think. I mean, I could throw out all these nonsensical things and really prolong this, but it probably wouldn't be wise to do.
I'm easy to amuse. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from
Syndrome.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:45.
We're back. Syndrome, a collection of symptoms, is called a syndrome. There, I knew I'd get that in sooner.
Is that
or later.
A noun or?
It's a noun. A syndrome is a noun.
I know. But
a collection of
symptoms. It does move. That was the verb reference.
Oh, you got me again. That's twice today.
Okay. Well, see, I was also presuming that Lucy was listening, but then I realized she probably has no interest in listening
Lucy's
to you.
Sick and bad asleep, yeah.
Oh, she's...
We both got it.
Just at the same time. Well, at least it's ripping through the house at the same time.
I started talking around, and I found out there's lots and lots of people have had this.
Oh, yeah.
And it's 3 weeks or 4 weeks long.
Yeah, before you're up and firing on
before you're up and firing cylinders. On at least two cylinders.
Yeah,
Chitty chitty bang bang. That's firing on one cylinder.
There have been a couple instances, Lou, in the news the last couple of weeks, where people have decided to try to flee from the police.
Oh,
now logically,
it's not, it's got nothing
that
to
makes
do with,
zero sense whatsoever.
It has nothing to do with that. It's all emotionally driven.
Because of fear?
You ever watch the cop shows on TV?
No, we got about hooked into NCIS, but not the reality ones.
About 80% of the guys they bag don't have shirts on.
Okay.
Don't have shirts on. They're wandering around drinking or drugs or beating on their partners. No shirts on. Not even a wife beater shirt. Just naked from the waist up. 80% of them. And I'm asking myself, what the heck is that about? You know, is it just simple child show off? And it's like trying to get away from a cop. It's like running away from daddy or running away from mommy or you can't catch me, neener, neener, neener. Oh, really? I have a radio and you don't.
Yeah. See this nail strip?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we'll take out your tires.
I got tools for this.
Yeah.
So there's another one of those childlike adrenaline rushes. About the chase, authority, don't tell me what to do, and no sense of social discipline.
Is rebellion in there also?
Oh, hell yes. And there's no great sense of social responsibility, so they don't care about the effect they have on other people. Literally, they don't care.
Is it a, this is for me?
It's all
this
about,
feels good?
Yeah, it's all about me. Right? I don't care about you or the woman with a baby carriage in the intersection or the little old lady driving 55 in the other lane. No, they don't have a sense of social responsibility.
Or the kids walking across the crosswalks.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. Or not.
Or not.
In the
yeah.
crosswalk, yeah. It's is
of course,
it a sign?
Now, Humboldt County, you know, all by itself, if you do the sociology of it, we're a very depressed county in terms of alcohol, drug abuse, and economics. We've always, well, ever since I've been here, we've always had that going in the background. High suicide, high alcohol, high drug use. And there's lots of places to hide in Humboldt County, too. I mean, all over the place, right? And to get to them, you have to drive, mostly. A lot of places in San Francisco, people take the cable car or the streetcar or the underground. You don't always get a lot of drunk driving in the city, because people don't drive that much in the city under those irresponsible people.
Who have syndromes
don't often drive that much on the city streets, yeah.
If you're in one of those spirals or you got a buddy, can a buddy save a buddy or push him or control him?
A buddy
or...
can take your keys, but remember you can lead a horse to water, but you can't cross him in midstream. No, wait a minute, that's the wrong metaphor.
I'm mixing my metaphors.
You can take a buddy's keys, but you can't make him change his mind.
It's like the Vince Gill song about the tractor. She took his keys, but forgot about his John Deere.
Oh. Nothing runs like a deer.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Well, thanks for coming by. Get well.
I'll do what I can.
Be firing on a couple more cylinders next month, okay?
Thank you.
I'm tired of carrying you. We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Luke Quimby. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.